Good morning and welcome to Seeing with the Eyes of Love. Sherry is not able to join us this morning because she's traveling, and so I am pleased to welcome Chris, who's going to be co-hosting the show with me. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Ashwini.
How are you this morning?
I am excellent. It's another glorious day on the planet.
It is a glorious day on the planet.
So you can't beat that.
You can't beat that. You can't beat the attitude of beginning a morning or being part of the day, seeing with the eyes of love.
Yeah, boy, that's very well said.
Shall we start off with our quote?
Okay, let's do it.
It really says it. Commitment to the highest spiritual goals tends to bring up the ego's defects, which is to be expected. Defects are inherent in the ego structure and should not be taken personally. The ego is not the real you. It was inherited as part of being born a human.
Wow.
Let me do that one
more
time.
One more time. Yeah, please.
Commitment to the highest spiritual goals tends to bring up the ego's defects, which is to be expected. Defects are inherent in the ego's structure and should not be taken personally. The ego is not the real you. It was inherited as part of being born a human.
Yeah, it seems like spiritual practice in a nutshell, boiling it down to those three or four sentences.
Yes.
Go ahead, Ashwini.
Go ahead, Chris.
A couple of things really stood out for me, and that seems like all kinds of fun, that typically, I'm the one that ego is pinning all of these defects on. And so it's just a really nice turn of the tables to really say, well, perhaps it's ego that has all those defects. And I've been the ego's pushpin bulletin board for long enough, so perhaps I can get a few of those back in that direction. Something like that.
Yeah, the defects are ego's defects, and they're not me. And
we've
been the butt of blame for so long that to alter that orientation and recognize where the defect is, if you want to call it that within quotes, and recognize that everybody has, that's that not taking ego personally, everybody has it's structural. And so it's inherent that we don't have to actually have to feel guilty because we have an ego. We just work towards transcending it and discovering what it is that we actually are. I just love it about our practice that it's all about going beyond self-hate, because that's where we get stuck. As soon as we take the ego personally and believe that there's something wrong with me, we get stuck in that loop.
Yeah, exactly. Right in the middle of it and taking it personally. Yeah, for sure.
And taking it personally. And trying to improve it, and therefore staying stuck in the ego cycle.
Yeah. So as soon as we take on one of these defects, in quotes, as you say, as our own, then ego's right there with how to improve the self away from, or to improve that defect or improve the human. And it's just such a vicious cycle because, as we know, the defects just don't exist. You know, they come in with the ego and with the being a human, and that's it.
Okay, well, let's take our first caller.
Sounds great.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Hello?
Sorry about that. Hello?
Hello? First caller? Well, we might try someone else. And I could see if I can get them back. Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Carolyn from Seattle.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hello. Hello. Oh, my God, I'm so excited. This is a rare occasion that I can participate in these morning live calls, and I'm so deeply grateful that that life provided me this opening. And I absolutely, that quote was so spot on at this very moment for this human. In the midst of a lot of demands related to work and being in the presence of some pretty, I don't know, by ego standards, human suffering, I have been swept into some conversations about how I'm not doing enough to be alongside the suffering. And grateful for this practice because I can go to the mentor and, you know, come out of standing next to these burning fires and go to the cooling, you know, it's like going into an oasis with the mentor who reassures me that I am the presence of love in the midst of suffering. And that's all I need to do is, show up. That's it. Show up. And I'm so deeply grateful that you all have given me this phenomenal tool. And that's really all I have to say. I don't really have a question. Just want to express deep, deep gratitude to everyone in the Sangha and this phenomenal access points that you all have provided for those of us that are in the far-flung world. Outside of the monastery, there's a lot of suffering out there right now. And to not participate in the how I create my own suffering amidst it all is such a gift. So thank you.
You know, yes, it is such a place of deep gratitude that we have a practice. Because it's so easy to get swept up into the maelstrom, right, Carolyn, that we don't have a framework which allows us to step back and see a context within which all of it is happening, we really don't have an anchor. And as you're saying, as you're saying, that when we have a coming home to the ability to know that suffering is a process, that ending suffering is a process, that suffering is not impersonal, that ego is not personal, and being able to step back from it, there's some other access point from which we can be in life. And that access point happens to be love.
That's right. That's right. You know, I think if there's a question that is in my consciousness right now, it's being with others who are so tied to the story that their suffering is caused, you know, that are so embroiled in their own self-hatred. Mm-hmm. And recognizing that, you know, they have their own awakening to experience, and it's standing alongside, I think that's the hardest part, is to just not jump up and down and say, you know, stop it. Stop. Mm-hmm. Please stop. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the suffering that life, you know, end of life, there's suffering, there's physical suffering. But then it's like the self-hatred, gasoline on the fire. You know, put the gasoline can down. Yes. And so I'm given the opportunity to, you know, stay in my lane and be accepting of that everyone has their process. And I am here to save this human's life only and be the presence of love amidst the embattlements that self-hatred puts a human being through.
Mm-hmm. You know, Carolyn, you're pointing to a couple of very, very important things. Yes, there mm-hmm. are many things in life that are painful, right? Mm-hmm. End of life, physical ailments. There are so many things that are painful, and that self-hatred is the guck on top of it, right? It is what causes yeah. suffering. When I am the reason I am suffering, right? When we take that ego personally instead of impersonally, yes. as the quote suggests, then there's a level of suffering that is actually optional. And that is what causes our pain at some level, which is when we have a framework and we can see how suffering is being caused by the voices of self-hate, we want to be able to offer that as a gift to people and say, stop, don't do that. It's not necessary. It's hard enough to be with the pain that you're going through. And I project, you know, this is something that Sherry always says, right? The greatest gift that we can be in the world is the experience that truly there is nothing wrong.
Yes.
Because when we're that, there is a hope that someone else who is being beaten down by the voices of self-hate can tune into the energy of love that we are. And even if they're listening to that voice, even if they're suffering, there is the ability to know that in your presence, in that presence of love, there's access. There is another option.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's so powerful. You know, so powerful, such a gift that we can give. And, you know, the quote that always comes to mind that Gandhi around, be the change I want to see in the world. Mm-hmm. Be the love that I'm not seeing here. And, you know, that constant returning, coming back, stepping back, to see the process that is just such the gift of this practice. I'm just so deeply grateful that I can be in the presence of others at difficult times in their lives and be there and be the love. That's it.
And it's truly such a powerful gift, which those voices would say is not doing anything. Right?
Yeah.
But it is what we can, being that is such it's the only thing we can do.
That's right. That is so true. There is nothing I can do as I sit alongside a mother whose daughter just died from a heroin overdose.
Yes.
But sit alongside her.
Yes.
And say, I'm not running away. I'm not scared. I'm here with you in this, you know. I mean, there is nothing we can do. I think that is the hugest revelation that any of us can make, that we have great power, and that is the power of love.
Yes.
And the power of fix it is just yet another bamboozlement of ego.
Right.
I got to do something. Right. I got to do more. I, you know, didn't do enough. That's just yet more of that just phenomenal shape-shifting mechanism that wants all of my attention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
wants me to avoid that.
Yes. Well, and it's the most important point there that you're making is that something has to be fixed. That's the last thing that person wants, right? That in that place of grief and that place of deep sorrow and pain to have those voices talk to them about how they could have been different, what they do wrong, what's wrong with the circumstance, and to be able to be in the presence of compassion that can hold all of those experiences in the unconditional. Like, no matter what's going on, here is an experience of being with that I can offer.
Yes. Oh. Wow. So a deep gassho to all of you, and I'm so excited to see the 2017 calendar. I'm trying to figure out how to get back down to the mothership in 2017. I'm going to make it happen. I'm making a commitment to this human to be in the presence of others who are teaching me so much and giving me so much. And thank you so much. I want to thank you.
Thanks, Carolyn. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's bring our next caller. You're live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini. It's Renee.
Hey, Renee.
Hi. I loved that conversation just then. That was awesome. I wanted to just say how grateful I am for the shows and for practice, these extra ones, and how it's just been sort of a, I don't know the right word, but like a trampoline when you're falling, you know, and you, it just catches you, like something to support you during the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's how it felt, just really, really supportive. And then it turned out from support to inspiration and action and, you know, just into, you know, oh, this is all, you know, amazing. And, you know, so it went from I needed something to now I'm able to be a benefit, you know, to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So really nice. Yeah.
Renee, I'm going to reflect, but I'm going to make sure that Chris is on the call. Chris, are you live?
I am. I think there was a time there where I was muted, but I'm here now. Thanks.
Okay. Well, I just wanted you to jump into the conversation. So.
Okay, great.
Sorry, Renee. Yes. So
that's okay.
from being supported to being so supported that there is an inspiration to contribute, and it's that it's a marvelous transformation, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I have an example. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind if I share it,
I bet Chris and I are breathlessly waiting to hear.
It sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah, I was at a Christmas/holiday party, and someone said to me, they said something about thank you for doing this because I was part of doing it, and I said yes, I'm very happy to do it, and we're blessed, you know. And she said, oh well, that must mean you agree with the current election and the results. And I said, no, I wouldn't assume that. I said, but we're still blessed. And she said, well, that's an amazing way to look at it, you know. And it was just kind of one of those moments. It was really short, but it was like I don't feel like there's anything wrong, just like what you were talking about. And now that I've been practicing more since the election, and it just I truly felt that way, and I think it was conveyed in that interaction. Are you still there?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Yep.
So
yes.
It's an amazing experience to be in that expanded place of awareness, right, Renee, where
mm-hmm.
what is considered something wrong can still be there, and
mm-hmm.
yet we are able to tune into the gratitude for everything that is also there. And it's exactly what conditioning doesn't want us to do, which is focus on something wrong, and your whole experience of existence is something wrong. And an expanded place of awareness allows us to also acknowledge all that is just wonderful and beautiful in the world, regardless mm-hmm. of what's going on that might cause us, or it might just be an opportunity for us to look to see what we could how we could be with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The other part of that for me, Renee, was how you started us with the trampoline metaphor and how that is something that is, I don't want to say it's something that you made, but you've availed yourself of. In other words, you practiced
mm-hmm.
enough to have that trampoline underneath of you. And so when you do get into these kind of situations, that it's there. You know that no matter how you might be, how life might be bouncing you, that there is that support that's always there.
Yeah, and you're right. Just to avail myself of it, you know, it was. I had this experience this weekend also of having a really great practice time and getting in touch with the divine, and then it was like I was like, where have you been? You know, but then it was told to me, the divine was never gone. I had just accessed it, you know, and so. Yeah, and that was really big because it switched my whole thinking. Like, it's always there to support us.
That's a great point. So it's true, whether we realize it or not, the trampoline is there, that life is always supporting us. Life is always responding with unconditional love and all of that amazing support.
And then the transformation just at that party in particular where – I'm surrounded by a lot of folks who are on the other side of what I would probably vote for. But I'm able to be in that place of modeling how to be in that environment or with those people, and just to continue to be loving and grateful and compassionate.
And so in terms of the quote, committed to the highest spiritual goals, so committed to loving compassion. That place, then, none of what ego is up to sticks, right? It's just so clear. It's
right.
not personal.
Right, right.
And
right.
that, and when it's not personal for this being, then it's certainly none of what conditioning would try and stick on any of those other people works either.
Right, right. Yes, yes. So thank you. Thank you, Sangha. Thank you for all the practice, for all the years.
Yeah, thank you, Renee. Yeah. Takes all of us to make it work.
That's for sure.
Thanks, Renee. You know, the thing that drops in for me around that, Chris, is how we're so focused, because ego is our immediate experience, We tend to take that personally. Just imagine if we were able to take divinity in the same way the intelligence that animates all, animates this form. And if our orientation was default switched to that instead of the defective ego, wow. And perhaps that's what that's what spiritual practice is, which is to do what Renee was talking about. Yes, the ego exists. Yes, it is the conditioned experience, but that awareness of gratitude and love and everything else that is also so, well, isn't that also our inherited experience? In fact, it is our essence.
With that, it does seem to be that's what the training is, right? To switch our viewpoint to that, to looking for the divine. And I've also heard it said something like that we don't really know the direction that joy can come from. And so it can be really helpful to be vigilant for joy. So looking for the joy in every experience, especially the ones that conditioning is telling us that there's no joy available or anything along those lines, but really training ourselves to be vigilant for joy. I've always enjoyed that that expression.
Yes, because the orientation is towards, we're going to announce the focus for the year soon, which is joy is the experience of presence. And so if we're looking for joy, we're coming into this here now, to this moment. And it is the experience of intelligence knowing itself. And so how about we train ourselves to have that experience instead of taking the defective ego personally?
Exactly.
Well, I think we have time for one more caller, Chris. Here's our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Well, I don't know what I did to that caller, but let's try another one. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Hello? Next caller.
Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, hey, it's Anne from New York.
Hi, Anne.
Hi, Anne. I just wanted to also just chime in and express great gratitude for this additional commitment at this time of the day. And I just really enjoyed that thought of the trampoline bouncing back into practice. And just so grateful also for that additional thing that Chris had mentioned about vigilance for joy. I think all of those are just so powerful, especially after a morning I had with ego. So just yay for commitment, and thanks for everybody showing up for this and everything. That's it. Just deep gratitude.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? It's for me, it's what Sangha is all about, right? That at any given moment, we can all be relying on each other and finding that unconditional loving presence, you know, in and amongst ourselves. So if I'm having a weak moment, chances are there are many other folks in Sangha who are aware of the trampoline, aware of the support they're getting, and, you know, a quick check in with Sangha, and I can catch that energy. I can get myself back into that place of, you know, I think that one of the places the quote was bringing me to too was, I love the cavalier attitude about ego, right? And so having the highest spiritual goal tends to bring up ego's defects, right? So it just says tends to. Right? So there I am, and ego's, like you're saying, a morning, like spending a morning with ego, like you're talking about, there is that sense of, you know, there's ego doing what it's doing. It can be to that point, especially if I'm committed to, you know, compassion and the way that we're talking about it. Ego can be screaming. It can be doing its worst, right? And I can be there with that attitude of, well, yeah, gosh, that seems to be what ego does. Ego tends to do that, and then just move along.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I don't know. What do I do when I'm with another person and this happens? Because I kind of tend to need space, but the other person wants to work with me through it. Could you help guide me in what you would recommend?
Could you say a little bit more about that, Anne? So what is it that's going on?
I was having a really kind of ego moment, and I was acting out, and I kind of directed it towards another person in the room with me, and it was not very kind or compassionate. And typically, I want to leave the room because I say that I'm not present and ego is in the room and I can't really hear you, even if you speak with me.
Yeah.
And then my friend is like, no, let's talk this out. Let's work it out. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. So,
Yeah. Well, from what you said, that in this instance, you tend to or have the enough awareness to be able to say something like, I know where I'm at. I know that conditioning is doing what it does, and that from here on out, it may not turn out well. I'd like to remove myself so that I can be in a more compassionate and loving place and then have this discussion. That sounds like there's much intelligence in it. Doesn't it to you?
It does to me, and my friend, sometimes that we work through it, I get a different perspective than had I gone off alone. So
And so from that, it really is a being in the moment kind of a place, right? So sometimes it's an experiment, right? Sometimes might take yourself out, and other times you might stay in, and then, you know, like we always talk about, if we're paying attention, we're going to learn something.
Yeah.
Right? What we don't want to do is to make it into a duality, you know, stay, go, and then fall asleep because conditioning's making the decisions, and then we lose, right? No matter what side we choose, then we lose. And so the idea is to be absolutely paying attention as we're going through this, and then we'll see, you know, all of those defects in that, and then be free.
And I just saw that even in that question, ego was trying to do a, okay, well, once you have this answer, this is the route we're going to go
there
instead of being present
we'll
in the moment.
We'll know what to do next time,
Yeah, exactly. So thank you for that. Thank you.
Oh, you bet.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Anne. I just love that, right, Chris, that life always is there, and therefore if we listen, we get the cue. And if all of the mistakes are ever made by ego, then either choice works. Everything works.
Yeah, content's not important in that place. It's paying attention and staying in that place of love,
And very committing to that spiritual, the highest spiritual goal, no matter what, I'm choosing compassion. I'm choosing love and a moment of presence where I could say, you know, I'm overwhelmed by identification. May I step out? And I'll be back. Because that's the choice that conditioning closes the door on. You could step out. Say, I choose unconditional love. I choose conditional love and come back and finish the conversation.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly so. I think that's so critical that and in one moment I might be leaving the room and life will drop in. No, I think this is one of those occasions to stay, and I can turn right back around and head into the room. And, perfect.
Well, thank you for joining us, Anne. Thank you, Chris. And I believe we're at the end of our show, and we'll do this again tomorrow.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Take care.
Thank you.
Take care,
Bye, Anne.
Take care, bye.
Bye-bye.
Everyone have a wonderful, wonderful day.